A warm welcome to you. This is Remember Palestine with me, your host, Amina Taylor. In most places in the West, we're used to having medical help when and where we need it. If you're sick, a hospital with the right equipment is ready to help. Sadly, that's not the case everywhere. The people of Palestine know this all too well. Woefully under-resourced hospitals and clinics are strained under increasingly heavy demand. This is despite the efforts of hard-working staff. We all know the problems are due mostly to the Israeli blockade. Palestinians continue to suffer and sometimes die because of the lack of medicine. Today we'll be speaking with a very special individual and our show's special guest, himself a father and a doctor, for whom it took a plea over Israeli television for his family to receive medical intervention. Tragically, for several members of his family, this was too late. Jasmine Jiwa reminds us of this horrific story.
Just over 2 years ago, during the Gaza war, Israeli bombs fell on the home of a Gazan doctor, killing three of his daughters and their cousin. With his other children badly wounded, and knowing an ambulance getting across Gaza's destroyed streets would probably be too late, he called the only link he had to the outside world. A journalist on Channel 10, who was in the middle of a live broadcast.
בבית שלו, אבו לש, תגיד לי את הבית שלך, איפה אתה נמצא, אולי ישלחו אמבולנסים אליך, אולי יאפשרו להגיע אליך באמבולנסים.
His impassioned plea brought alive a reality that no news report could possibly match. It represented the sheer desperation that reverberated again and again throughout Gaza during the 22-day assault.
And the man for whom this was a reality, Dr. Izzeldin Abuldesh, joins us now. Sir, having to watch you relive that moment, I know must be a very uncomfortable interaction, but could you take us back to that day?
It is not to take me back. I'm living it now. It's with me now, every moment.
Yes.
It's my life. It runs. And it will continue to run the whole of my life. This moment that I don't want anyone to see what have I seen or to experience it. In that crazy moment when the world was watching what happened in Gaza, where Palestinians from Gaza Strip in particular, they became numbers.
Yes.
And no one can stop it. The bleeding, the bloodshed was running, and it doesn't need to watch or to send emotional message or talks. It needs someone to take action to stop the bleeding. As I use as a medical doctor, in case of emergency and urgency, to stop the bleeding. It's an action, not a negotiation or talks. And it was a secret what happened in Gaza. No one knows about it. But it's God's mercy and God's will, God's bliss. You may dislike something and later on realize it's for good. And you may like something later on realize it's not good for you. Seconds after I left my daughter's room, at the time when I was supposed to be interviewed live by the Israeli TV, the first shell came. I didn't expect it because shelling was from everywhere. I didn't expect my house is the one which was shelled. But when I saw the dust, the smoke, the chaos inside, I went to see my daughters, whom I left seconds before, to see Bisan, who was 20, Mayar, who was 15, Aya, who was 13, Noor, my niece, who was 17, my daughter Shada. They became parts Mayar that I wanted at least to see her face, to say the last look at her I can't recognize, decapitated, their parts spread everywhere. They were drowning in a pool of blood. But as a believer, as a Muslim with deep faith, I fully believe everything from God for a cause. To show the craziness in this world and to open the eyes of the international community, the Israeli public, the whole world, about the suffering of other human beings in this world, that there is a crisis. There's tragedy facing the Palestinian people, especially in Gaza, where 50% of the population are children, and that we are killing innocent civilians. And it satisfied me the second day when was announced unilateral ceasefire to save others' lives. We don't want to be killed to save others. We want to save in order to save and to act in time. The most holy thing is a human being and the freedom, because we were born free and we must run a normal free life, and to get from it free, no one should pay any price to get his freedom. Freedom is free for everyone without any cost. Freedom of sickness, of disease, of poverty, of unemployment, freedom of a happy future and the present. And that's what I'm devoted. I lost 3 precious daughters and niece, but they are living with me. Thank and you. Since then, as long as I'm breathing, they are breathing with me. I see them. I see Aya, Mayar, Bisan, Noor talking to me. Don't relax. Don't rest. And I swore to God and to my daughters not to relax, because I will meet them one day. And I will meet them to be proud, bringing them the gift, the justice that they paid their souls and the blood. And only with wisdom and good words and noble deeds. And that's what I am determined and persistent to bring them and to continue my life.
That will be an example. And we're just going to find out in a few minutes how you've managed to do this. And I don't think there would be a soul watching that will not be as moved as I am by what's happened here. Sir, you take a moment, and we'll come back to you in a few seconds. It seems almost as if words cannot fully express what's happening here, but you would imagine that things may have improved after what happened. But have they? Well, medical aid for Palestinians, it continues to battle against the siege and highlights the inadequate care for Palestinians on a daily basis. We're just going to have a very brief look at a clip from MAP, some of the things they're doing to highlight the issues they're dealing with.
The blockade affects all aspects of daily life, from cooking gas to school books to electricity. Hospitals are not exempt. Medicines are routinely delayed, and supplies like spare parts for dialysis machines and incubators are often denied, leaving Gaza's hospitals less able to cope and putting patients at risk.
When the medication is delayed, we can use it. It's useless. One of the most important things we're facing here in Gaza for the hemodialysis. When we don't get the hemodialysis powder or hemodialysis fluids in the proper time, we can see the people go to die.
الحصار كمان بيأثر على الوضع الاقتصادي تبع المريض نفسه. يكون محتاج لبعض الأدوية, بعض كذا ما حوش لأنه بيشتغلش أو قاعد أو عليه حصار مش موجود, فبيستطيعش إنه بيحضر هذا المادة يعني العلاجية تبعته بعد ما يروح منها. وهذا الشغل الحصار بيأثر بشكل عام على كل الحياة الفلسطينية يعني.
It's unacceptable. We are now in 2010 and 1.5 million people are living in a prison. Even food and medication is not allowed. It's not acceptable at all. It should be lifted immediately.
Still with us is this program's very, very special guest, Dr. Izzeldin Aboulaish. And he suffered unspeakable tragedy when 4 members of his immediate family were killed during the Gaza War of 2008 to 2009. And we were saying just before the clip that you made a personal pledge, and you continue to do this every day, that you will be an example of not resting, of moving forward with trying to get this message across. What have you done to that effect, sir?
Thanks God, my life helped me. Being a medical doctor, practicing medicine, I am Palestinian from Gaza, but for 15 years. I was the first Palestinian from Gaza to practice formally in an Israeli hospital, where Israelis, they used to see Palestinians as workers. But now they saw the Palestinian as a human as they are, skilled as they are, and he gives others, where medicine has one face.
Yes.
It has a human face, where we save lives. And that's what I continued my life, because I believe in it, and I will continue, and can others learn to practice that, to offer others, to save lives, as we saved in the hospitals. What is practiced within the borders of the hospitals, to be practiced outside, to give equality, justice, privacy and respect, and to value the human life. Saving one's life, you save the world. Killing one, you kill the world. And it's not someone to think in our needs we need medical aids. Human being is beyond that. Human being is a freedom.
But for so many individuals, Dr. Aboulaish, they would have understood if you became angry, became bitter, wanted revenge. People could see that, but you didn't.
I didn't, and I will never, and I tell everyone, as a Muslim, the strongest is not the one who is strong physically, the strongest who behaves himself in anger. When someone came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, asking him, what do you recommend me? He said, don't be angry, don't be angry, don't be angry. With anger we waste, we lose control, we don't. And I can say, I am angry, I am outraged about what happened, in a positive way that I am not accepting it.
Yes.
And direct my anger in a positive way of not accepting it, and to act to change the situation. Hate, I believe in it, that it's a disease, it's a poison, and the antidote of hate and revenge is to succeed. The one who killed my daughters, to show him that I am not collapsed, I am standing steadfast, determined, stronger. You plan to destroy me, but I am giving you a message. I will never be destroyed. And I believe, I don't believe in impossible things. The only impossible thing I believe in my life is to return my daughters back.
Yes.
And I am moving forward, as I said, with one goal, to bring my daughters justice, and not to be drowning or blind, immersed with hate. God bless my children. My daughter Shada, who was severely wounded, she lost the sight in one eye, but she didn't lose it in the other. What did she suffer in life? In 1 year, mountains can't bear that. She lost her mother 4 months before her sisters were killed, and she lost the sight, but she went back to the school, to the high school in Gaza, where she studied during the war on candles to be one of the first 10 in Palestine in the high school. But she was determined, and she did the exam, and she succeeded 96%.
Yes.
That's the challenge. Now she is studying computer engineering, and that's what do we want to move forward. The success, patience is the key.
And just very briefly, doctor, could you tell us about the foundations you've set up in your...
My daughters were able, they have plans, because they have a father. As a medical doctor, he has the resources to help his daughters. What about other girls in this world? And in my life, I am in debt to my mother, my wife, and my daughters. The Palestinian mother is the hero, and I fully believe in the role of girls and women.
Yes, sir.
In this world, I established this foundation to keep my daughters living, and they will be kept living for health and education in the Middle East. A healthy, educated girl and woman will raise healthy, educated children, husband, family, community, and nation. It's woman's role, and it's time. The first phrase, the first ayah in Quran, read for girls and women, for everyone. Education is the strongest weapon. The means of fighting have changed, and it's time to give the woman the right role. And I can say to you, if they didn't make this world a better place to live in, it will never be worse as it is.
Thank you so much, doctor. Really appreciate it. And of course, the book is called I Shall Not Hate. So if you get an opportunity to read it, please do. I don't think life would be the same for you after. And of course, I know so many of you will want to get in touch to comment on what you've seen today and what you've heard, maybe with suggestions of your own. Here's how to do that.
Now, don't forget, you can text the Remember Palestine team with your comments about the issues raised in today's programme on +44 78 00 000 377. You can also email us your comments, any interesting stories about Palestine, or even send us a 30-second message through your webcam to our email rp@presstv.co.uk. And don't forget, you can always add your comments on our Facebook wall and even send any pictures, songs or videos you would like us to feature. We look forward to hearing from you.
And the foundation of my guest there is called Daughters for Life. If you want to look it up, I think it will be worth the visit. And of course, one man heading on a mission that seeks to end Israel's blockade on Gaza is the American-Irish activist Ken O'Keefe. He's unveiled his new plans in an exclusive interview with Remember Palestine. This video contains images of a graphic nature.
Since Mubarak's fall from power, activists globally have been asking, could this be the time to open the Rafah crossing? One group of determined campaigners have taken it upon themselves to create the answer to that question. They are led by American-Irish activist Ken O'Keefe, who was on board the Mavi Marmara and joined the Road to Hope humanitarian convoy.
What we're going to do is we're going to travel from El Arish in a convoy to probably about 1 kilometer before the border crossing with Rafah, and we will march the last distance. I'm in Gaza. I'm trapped here along with many other people, but we have marchers on the inside of Gaza who will also be supporting those outside. So I'll be amongst those people, and there will be a march to Rafah. We'll camp out outside of Rafah, and we will wait, and we will put more pressure, and we will bring more people until that border is open.
Although the action is being taken at short notice, he is determinedly hoping to gather enough momentum to reach out to those reduced to insignificance in the eyes of so many.
There are so many stories here that are just numbers to a lot of people. Families have been destroyed because of a blockade in which people can't get much needed medical care, which is not available here in Gaza. Qassem, a little 13-year-old boy who is currently in need of a kidney transplant, of which his father is willing to donate that kidney, is not able to leave Gaza for this critical operation. This is just one story. There are countless stories of people who have died because they have not received needed medical attention elsewhere. Aside from that, it's a basic issue of justice now, isn't it? How is it possible that we are subjecting 800,000 plus children in Gaza 4 years of a blockade? How is it possible? Can we consider ourselves truly to be humane when we are allowing this to continue? We live in a collective state of insanity. And if we decide to become sane, we will realize that our top priority is to end these invasions, end these occupations, end these hideous violations of human rights, and end these brutal dictatorships that we in the West have either propped up or supported in one way or the other. We don't value non-Western life the way we value our own. This is a problem.
And we're back with our very special guest on today's program, Dr. Izzeldin Abulesh. And he was telling us before we went to this segment that it's time for the women to find their rightful place. And he's doing that with Daughters for Life, his charitable foundation. How can we help?
Everyone can help through the foundation, through your place, to speak loudly, to tell a story, to tell about what have you seen, to explain, because I learned one thing. Our enemy is our ignorance and the people they don't know. So we must outreach everyone. You can volunteer. You can give a smile to everyone. You can donate. There is a lot of things. And it's important, each of us, just to act. Don't wait for others to say, what can my action do? Don't underestimate your action. Whatever the size of your action, it makes a difference in others' lives. So what can I say to the people? Please move forward. Think in a positive way. Have hope, have faith, and take action. It's a matter of action, it's a matter of urgency, not to wait. The patient in the hospital, he doesn't need just words. He needs a prescription to be cured. And what the Palestinian people need is their freedom, as others in an independent state, to feel the taste and not to wait for humanitarian aids, to be independent as others and to build their future. And in Gaza, as I said, it's 50% of them are children. It's a human crisis. It's a human tragedy. And we shouldn't blame those people if they became crazy. We should blame ourselves. What did we do to push them to that corner? We must not watch. Start to act. Actions resonate more than words, and it's the international responsibility not to watch it before it becomes irreversible.
Sir, thank you so much. The book is called I Shall Not Hate. The foundation is Daughters for Life. Look them up. You'll be so glad you did. And sadly, we've come to the end of our time on today's edition of Remember Palestine. A big thanks for staying with the show, and of course, heartfelt gratitude for those of you who take the time to get in touch with your feedback. I'll leave you with today's quote by the English playwright William Shakespeare. He says, "The miserable hath no medicine, but only hope." From me, Amina Taylor, and all the Remember Palestine team, goodbye.